Hello, welcome to Universal Soul Love. This is Dr. Lana Love.
And David Love.
Today on the show, we have a really interesting guest, Patricia Haywood, followed by a guest from Africa talking about the Mulmoon Project, which has been set up in Kenya. So with us today is Patricia Haywood. I'd like to welcome you to the show.
Welcome to the show, Patricia.
Thank you, David and Lana. It's lovely to talk with you.
Patricia is author of 4 textbooks on religion. She's got Master's in Theology, Bachelor of Arts. She is a teacher. She has been a big figure in movement towards gender equity. She has been the president of the Movement for the Ordination of Women. Patricia has been committed to social justice issues and has been a passionate advocate on asylum seekers. She's often appeared on radio and television, and her journal articles have been published widely within Australia and overseas.
Wow, you're a very accomplished person. I'm very impressed.
Thanks, David.
And just recently, Patricia has become involved in a really, a touching project associated with helping young girls reduce their absenteeism from school and help, rally for their rights when it comes to
menstruation,
yes. So yes. It's called the Mulmoon Project, and it's just recently started. And I understand it's really we're in a time where it could go or it could collapse. So it's a wonderful project. Could you tell us a bit more about it, Patricia?
Yes, it's actually 2 months today since I heard directly from Moses Akweri Okher, that you'll be talking to later. And we had connected through a closed Facebook group called Let's Talk Feminism, and he was aware of my position as a grandmother and somebody concerned for gender equity. And they had an annual fundraising project, Walk a Mile in Her Shoes, which is actually an international project. They fell short of their fundraising goal by $80 Australia. And that meant that the Chimayani Girls Rescue and Safety Shelter that he was responsible for running was going to miss out on funding. And he asked me if I could help. So my husband, Roger Payton, and I sent off $80. That did not cost us. We did not have to go without anything to send that $80. But I was overwhelmed by the response from the girls in that safe house and from Moses and from a particular young woman, Brenda B, who is largely responsible for running the safe house. Mo then went on to tell me about a pilot project they conducted in 2009 when they distributed free, what we call moon pads. They're washable, reusable cloth menstrual pads. And when they used those for girls in the schools, gave them to them for free, school absenteeism by girls dropped during their menstruating period from over a third to about 12%.
Oh, my goodness, that's huge.
That's a 67% drop. So yeah. It was so clearly a need.
So let's see, Patricia, if I understand correctly, the first project that Mo was involved with is the Safe House for Girls, protecting them from homelessness or abuse?
I've learned a lot about Kenyan history in the last couple of months. Mm-hmm. There were elections, in inverted commas, in 2007, and they've been internationally recognised as corrupt, and the results were not there. It was interesting that they had turnouts of 115% at some polling stations.
Wow.
And as soon as the results were announced, riots broke out. In Kenya, there are 42 different tribes or 42 different dialects, and this poverty-stricken, powerless groups of people expressed their frustration by attacking any one of the other 41 tribes that they weren't a member of. So there was widespread violence. It was just terrible. And Mo was volunteering at a Red Cross centre. Typically, rape and sexual assault was used as a weapon of war.
Oh,
sure,
awful.
As it always has been in war for thousands of years, unfortunately.
It's awful.
Yes. And to the Red Cross shelter came this young girl, Brenda B, who had been raped by seven men. Her parents had been shot
in front of her eyes,
and she was homeless, had lost everything, and was traumatised. So Mo and some friends decided that they wouldn't just stand by and weep. He had inherited a small plot of land in Siaya County, S-I-A-Y-A, which is about 500 kilometres from Nairobi by very bumpy, uneven and rough roads. So he and some friends took some women and girls to this part of Tumaini, or this part of Siaya, and established the Tumaini Girls.
Oh, that is really lovely.
Yeah.
And hopefully we'll be able to talk to Mo later on.
Right.
And it's the Mulmoon Project grew out of that. And let's get this straight. We are talking about menstruation, right?
Yeah, that was the first thing I said. I imagine there must be a term, you know. It's a real issue.
Why is it hard to talk about that? I actually feel a little bit embarrassed talking about
that. Well, I know. Well, you know.
And
it's a very natural, I mean, I brought this up on a show with Comedy Pure Angel. She, you know, went off at the end of the last interview and started talking about this. And I think it needs to be talked about. I mean, I guess women
in Western countries take it for granted that we can just buy menstrual pads.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems, Patricia, it's very different for women in Kenya.
I was shocked. I know that half the world doesn't have electricity and hasn't used a phone, but I really had no idea of what grinding poverty day in, day out was like. And poor people have poor relatives, and so they don't have people with resources to call on.
Right.
So girls would find old cushions or rugs or sponges.
Oh, my goodness.
Collect banana leaves to absorb their flow. Some scraped a hole in the ground, released their immediate flow into the hole in the ground and covered it over. Most of them were too embarrassed to go to school because of embarrassment. And it is a major cause of so few girls finishing even up to year 8.
Who would have thought?
So this is a real issue that impacts their quality of education and quality of life and their
absolutely
attendance in school. This is a real serious, has an impact on their lives in a big way.
It's
teenage girls.
It's the major cause of absenteeism.
Oh.
And so only 15% of girls even go on to years 9, 10, 11 and 12, what they call high school or secondary school in Kenya, and even fewer finish because they cannot afford disposable sanitary supplies. Some girls can save some money and go to a slaughterhouse where they get a cow hide, which which they shape in like a nappy and use to absorb their flow.
Yes, we've got a photo of this in the article that you sent us. It actually describes one of the girls here. I might just read it out. She sits under a tree, her knees touching under her chin, the brown dress slightly lifted above her thighs, her bare behind resting on the rough soil, insects constantly crawling all over her. As the sun gets hotter, flies mill around, attracted by the smell of blood. The chirping of the birds and the goats that occasionally feed on the nearby bushes distracts her for a moment. She's been here for 2 to 3 days. She's missing school. And this is a 14-year-old talking. That's absolutely outrageous.
It's unacceptable. And, you know, being a man, I can't. It's this is a female function, and it's very difficult for any man to relate to this or even understand. But you can certainly be compassionate to something like that.
And I'm just so touched that we'll talk to Mo later on. But Mo is not a father yet, and yet he's become quite empathic about this.
I think it's very admirable.
It's
fantastic. For a man to take this up as a cause,
And he's very alone in this. There are one or two Kenyan males who might help him with the accounts, because they're very accountable for any money given. But if you look at the number of supporters, the people who are actually donating to the project, there are two from the United States, one from the United Kingdom, and seven Australian women. And one of those women is me, and I include my husband, Roger, in that. But Mo has really felt let down by Kenyan men. And I'll tell you, I don't know if it's funny or heartbreaking, but we've decided to rent a room in Fire where, if we can get the resources and the funding, we will conduct classes, 12 students in the morning, 12 in the afternoon, one sewing machine between two girls. A lot of these girls will come from homes without electricity, and they'll be taught, this is a sewing machine, this is a bobbin, this is how you thread a sewing machine, this is how you don't thread a sewing machine.
So, Patricia, most of these girls would not have seen a sewing machine before?
Yes, that's correct.
Wow.
And a woman who owns a kiosk nearby rang Brenda, the young woman I've talked to about, and said the leader in the local area wanted to know what this Mulmoon, we've called the building secretary, what are they on about? What's going to go on here? And another man told him, oh, they are making special supplies for women who bleed. That is every woman between puberty and menopause.
Yeah.
It's just amazing that Kenyan men seem to be born as baby boys without mothers, without sisters, without grandmothers. They grow up, they have babies without wives. They don't have daughters, they don't have granddaughters. They don't bleed. It was so bizarre to hear. That is how one man explained to another man in Kenya what the Mulmoon Project was about. And I was sent a link to Sire County put up by the governor, a lot of which is not accurate. But every picture had every person male.
Right.
So every web page, every photo had males. So it's an amazing society where they have no mothers, no grandmothers, no aunts, no sisters, no daughters, no baby girls, and all the men is done by work. All the work is done by men. That's if you were to look at the images on the website. I thought patriarchy was pretty alive and well in the West, but
I guess in America, growing up with my friends, I guess we mainly saw menstruation just as an inconvenience, and we talk about it amongst ourselves and sort of, it was
It's talked about more well, it's advertised more honestly in Australia now. When I was a child, there would be advertisements in the Australian Women's Weekly or something with a grand lady descending in a very elegant home wearing an evening gown with the words, "Give Kotex, give confidence." And if you didn't know what Kotex was, you would think, is it a carpet? Is it a staircase? Is it a jewellery? Well, at least now on television, if it's a show that is likely to have a high percentage of women watching, the ads will be fairly specific about tampons or menstrual pads.
You're right, Patricia. Actually, it is more specific, and in fact, it's actually more there, more present than before.
I guess it's like that in America too. They're right up front about it.
I guess it's becoming less of a taboo subject, which is really important.
Like I said, I guess men generally don't, in America that I've known, where I lived, generally didn't have an interest in it or want to talk about it. It's generally a female issue, and men just, you know.
And it's actually a sign of health. It's a normal maturation process. Young women can't reproduce until they've gone through puberty. So I know Hinduism is a special area of interest, and I know in Hindu society they have a special ceremony when a girl has her first period and she gets given gold and jewellery and so on.
Really?
Well, in Kenya it is just not mentioned. And daughters are particularly not allowed to mention it around their fathers. And I think that's so sad.
It's incredible. That's absolutely tragic. And,
it is.
And, you know, compared to then Hindu society, and I know that there are some other societies, and we have a friend who...
Kamini, who has a self-sustainable living community in Mount Shasta, and you listened to the interview that I did with her.
And she talks about the menstruation, in fact, as being sacred and actually having a life force.
Like all things do. And she also talked about it, and she treated it almost ceremoniously.
Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could get a change of attitude in Kenya?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
In Africa, I mean, there are a lot of societies, I presume, where it is a cause of shame, and it ought not to be.
That's right. And I guess now is a maybe pertinent time just to briefly mention feminism, because you mentioned that you were a feminist, Patricia. I know David considers himself a feminist.
Maybe a male feminist. We talk on our mission statement about in the show as being sort of a part of the post-feminist movement, which is about gender rights and just human rights, you know, just natural birth rights, not so much about, because I know when we hear, I guess this is interesting that we're bringing this up and it is timely and it kind of goes with the show, because you both call yourselves feminist. And I know in America, when some men hear a woman call themselves a feminist, it brings up emotions in them that the word feminist, it means that the woman hates men.
Which is actually not accurate. However, there might be some women that have been hurt by men who have that sentiment. And hence David and I often use the term post-feminist, because supposedly the gender equality has already been established. Well, not really, but...
Maybe in some places, and you know, and certainly there's still the gender war is still going on, and gender separation is still there, and that's why we're now trying to push the post-feminism movement or the post-feminist era.
So I guess the focus has to be on gender equality, and you know, there are other areas where boys need to catch up with girls. So, but I guess that's the context just for our listeners.
Just trying to either change the definition of feminist so that it's a little more, you know, that we want to sort of reunite the genders. We do want equality, obviously. I mean,
but the context in which we use it, and perhaps we use post-feminism, is where both genders are equal and united and working together.
Yes, we're working together as a powerful force for the good of the world and within our own lives.
It's just so exciting to have, you know, both women like Patricia and men like Patricia's husband, like Mo in Africa, who's established
men
this,
and women,
working together.
Men and women empower each other.
Absolutely marvellous.
They're a powerful, united force.
My dream would be we're limited. Our goals, we're not trying to transform all of Kenya, but we've chosen the Malaha region of Thaya, and that's where the Mull part of the Mull Moon project comes from.
I see.
There are 20 primary schools. The primary school goes up to year 8, so there'll be a lot of menstruating girls in year 7 and 8. And 20 primary schools and 10 high schools, and we would like to supply them with free moon pad kits. And a kit consists of 3 pairs of pants, 3 liners that are waterproof on the side that is attached to the pants and absorbent on the top, and then 7 liners, some more absorbent than others. So a student should be able to wear 1 pair of pants and liners and then wash those, and while they're drying, she can wear the second set. And then when she's washing and drying those, she can wear the third set. So she should be able to have a clean set of pants, liners and towels for the duration of her period.
Fantastic. And I understand that, unlike other projects, they're... So it's, I guess, something for our listeners to be clear on. It's not just giving them pads. They will actually be produced locally, so it's to be self-sustaining.
Oh, yes. Very good.
Yes.
So we're going to have to sort of we've got probably about another 5 minutes,
yeah,
because
we
need to get Mo on the show and also get some other things on.
So where can people contact you, Patricia, or where can they get information on the Mull Moon Project?
The easiest way is to go to the website, and it's very simple. It's themullmoonproject.org. So Mull comes from Malaha, Moon comes from Moon Pads, which is the term for washable, reusable menstrual supplies. So the Moon Pad, the Mull Moon Project, I'll say that again, the mullmoonproject.org is a website, and it has history, what brought us to this stage, what people can donate, how they can donate. It's really at a critical stage because, as I say, it's 2 months since Mo and I connected and they got confidence. We have 6 sewing machines with put down a month's deposit on the room. We have volunteer teachers. We now need to be able to get the fabric and renew the fabric, so people will be learning how to sewing the moon pads.
So everything is working at the moment, and Patricia, I just wanted to say and thank you and your husband for your donation, because
yes,
I believe it actually kick-started the whole thing with your donation to buy them a sewing machine and a computer, didn't it?
Yes.
And I think you were telling me how wonderful it is that that amount of money, which is, not insignificant, but I guess affordable to some Australians, makes such a difference in...
Yeah.
in
yes.
Yeah, it goes a long way.
It's so rewarding. Hmm. If we could find 100 people who could give $100 per year,
wow,
that's about $8.30 a month,
really,
then we could guarantee its the sustainability.
And I believe, Patricia, it's actually a bit heartbreaking that the whole project might collapse now if there's not enough money, and that they're, the place that has been rented has actually been taken by someone else.
We nearly got gazumped. Mo was in Nairobi, which, as I say, is about 12 hours of the bus ride from Sire, when he got word that somebody else had also wanted that building because it's central and in a good location, and so he bribed the owner and paid 6 months deposit in advance.
Oh.
And so Mo had to leave Nairobi and go by this 12-hour bus trip back to Sire. But he has secured the premises for a month. It's $180 Australian for the rental, and so we need to find that each month, plus the electricity and water. And previously, in the pilot project, to distribute the moon pads to schools, they had to hire a car, which is quite expensive, and it was that it would be much more economical to go by bicycle. They have bicycles in Kenya with the most amazing freight capacity carrying on the back, and we've bought two bicycles, but we really would like four more to be able to reach the schools that we need to reach. So yes, it is quite critical. It's so heartwarming how desperately the locals want this. And I
Patricia, I think you gave me a pamphlet. I'm just looking at the photos, and there's some photos of the girls before and after receiving their moon pads. And oh, the differences in their faces, all these smiling children with their moon pads, it's just so heartwarming.
And it is.
It really is. It has to be the most rewarding thing I've been involved in. And to see their lives change. As my view of feminism, David, would be to see, as far as this project goes, to see the potential of those young schoolgirls in Kenya unlocked to the same extent as the potential of schoolboys is unlocked. And if lack of sanitary supplies is keeping them away from school, and we can supply moon pads, which will ensure that school absenteeism drops, then that's a giant step forward. Those girls will go out to complete high school and maybe get a scholarship or get to college, get qualifications and contribute back to Kenyan society. Scholarship needs it.
That is such an unbelievably wonderful cause.
This is
isn't
a great
it?
Cause to take up. I mean, there's no one doing this, and so you know, I mean, it's really wonderful that you're doing this where no one else is, and it may seem to some people to be insignificant compared to all the other issues in the world that are going on, you know, animal rights activism and human rights and all these different things that are going on in the world. But this is an important issue that does need to be addressed, and you also talked about it being self-sustainable, which is certainly part of our mission statement.
Absolutely fantastic. And I think with, you know, coming up to Christmas, it's, you know, perhaps people, I would hope, would like to donate to this project. We'll certainly be advertising this. And Patricia, you've also given us a wonderful recording of a song about the project to the to the tune of the first 12 days of Christmas. So we'll be putting that on too. We'll be taking a break. And I see Mo's phoning in, so we can listen to him and talk to him next. So, look, thank you very much for talking on our show, and would love to have you on the show again maybe in a few months' time to
maybe
see
get
how
a little update on things.
How things are going.
I'd love to give you a progress report.
Fantastic. Thank you very much, Patricia.
Okay.
Bye for now.
Thanks, David.
Bye.
You're welcome. Bye.
Okay, so welcome back to Universal Soul Love.
Welcome back.
And we have with us now Moses Akwiri Okoth.
Welcome, Moses.
Thank you so much, Dave and Lana.
So Moses, or Mo, as he's affectionately known, is the man responsible for the Mull Moon project that Patricia has become involved with. And just to give a bit of background about you, Mo, I understand that you were born in Kenya and you're the 11th child.
My goodness. But I thought I came from a big family of, you know, five. Wow.
And so you were always quite good academically, and you actually won a college scholarship to Georgia, America, and you gained a graduate certificate in social studies. And that you've established a number of projects. Mull Moon Project is only the last one. You have established the Tumaini Girls Rescue Shelter, that shelters women from violence, sexual assaults, and that's under the umbrella of Mending Africa.
Good title.
And I understand that you've also volunteered at the Red Cross, helped internally displaced persons from Nairobi to Sierra, and that at the moment the Malmoon project is something that is very much viable and could make a big difference to your area. But I understand it is at risk of falling down. Could you tell us more about it and how people might be able to help such an important project?
Thank you so much. Greetings to everyone down under. And we say karibu, meaning welcome, in my Swahili language. What happened is during the post-election violence in Kenya in 2007 and 2008, there was a lot of violence that was happening, and basically the most affected were women and girls. Thus, as a result, I and a few friends felt it very necessary to start off something, and we started off with basically giving donations or contributions of diapers, sanitary towels, clothing, blankets, and all the necessities that a refugee would be able to have. And I felt that I wasn't doing enough. So I felt that because Kenya is a very huge country and we had 42 tribes fighting, so you'd be able to find tribe A living in a specific area where tribe B lives, which is miles and miles away as a result of probably the work or education in terms of whatever someone was doing. So I had to take specific women and specific girls to a piece of land that my father had left me. And that's how we started a small home or safe house that we call Tumaini. Tumaini is a Swahili word meaning safe house. And so that is how we started off Tumaini, and with the little experience that I had in terms of sexual and gender violence with previous organizations that I had started with, started looking for contributions and donations in kind from friends and from relatives and from my own pocket. And that's how Tumaini started.
Mo, I must say I'm just so touched as a woman and as a Westerner that you've been so incredibly resourceful and, about this and
involved in this
coming from a culture where it appears that the women are not given equal status. How is it, Mo, that you have so much motivation to help women?
I was thinking the same thing.
I basically think my mother is the driving force behind all this. My mom was married to a polygamist. My father was a polygamist from the Harvard. He was a Harvard law grad studying law. Surprisingly, not many people would even get surprised that he was the death mate to Barack Obama Sr., who's Barack Obama's father. So he was a Harvard law graduate and studied law, came back to Kenya.
Sorry, Mo, what was the connection to Barack Obama?
They went to school together. They went to what you'd call high school together.
Ah, I see. Okay.
They went to high school together. My father went to high school with Barack Obama's father at high school together.
Uh-huh.
And so he married five women, my mother being the first woman, and having been able to say she believed that the biggest and powerful tool that you could be able to give women as a result of her being a village girl was education. So my mom was basically so empowered education-wise. She went to limits that not many women have been able to go to. And I picked this from her, and I realized that when you basically, what an African proverb says, when you educate a girl, you educate a village. Mm-hmm. And I do believe, and I firmly believe to this day, that when a woman or when a girl is empowered education-wise, then there is a lot that she can change. Knowledge is power. And this is the driving force that I keep on giving women and girls today. When you basically educate a girl, you educate a whole village.
Yes, I totally agree. Can I just, I had an experience as a criminal defense investigator in Boston, and I met a rape victim from Kenya, and she was working at a hospital and also going to college and, you know, bettering her life in America. And she met a Kenyan man who she knew from another tribe who raped her in her apartment. And wonderful woman too, and I had to take a victim statement from her and get her story down. And it was very graphic, and she ended up, interestingly enough, not interestingly, but she ended up asking the prosecutor to drop the charges because she wanted to go back to, I believe it was Kenya or Nigeria, but I believe it was Kenya, because she asked to drop the charges because she thought that if she were to go back to Kenya at some point, members of this of the perpetrator's tribe would basically retaliate against her and her family. And so basically the Russian defense attorney that I was working with said, you know, he got an undeserved break, basically. And this is what you're talking about.
Is that what the culture's like then?
Lana, this happens every day. People just keep on looking at the small cases. If I told you at the beginning of 2010, I did 2 weeks of time because of basically standing up for a case where someone was sexually assaulted and they cut off her hands at her wrist. Seven men did this, and what happened is it became very, very difficult because they had to negotiate with the perpetrators of that. She could not be able to go back. How many more cases keep on happening? We have so many of them happening. Some of them are not even taken into account. So this happens every single time.
Oh my goodness.
What you have are people who want publicity. Some of them just basically want to be able to say, we are doing this. Look at what you're doing, the Moon Moon Project. If there were those people basically doing sanitary towels or doing sanitary napkins or doing moon pads, it's not necessary for us to be able to speak to Dave and Lana Lovegate.
Yes.
Now, it's interesting. You were talking about Obama, and of course I have a former employee who is related to the Obamas, and she does know, I guess she spends time with Obama's stepmother, I think, and we talked about this previously. And
she lives near you, is that right?
Yeah. Tumaini is quite close to where Barack Obama comes from. It's about a 30-minute drive, and you have to take like a motorcycle taxi up to there, and so it's not quite far off. We have been trying to do a few campaigns. There's one campaign we tried that is running that is called Girls Not Brides, where girls are given off into marriages, early marriages. We've tried that before with her. We've done Day of the Girl, which is normally observed in October. And Take Back the Night, which is one of the events that I keep on doing. Most of my events are not basically within urban setting, there's so much within rural setting. And if it's within an urban setting, I would normally concentrate with small communities that are actually disadvantaged. Mm-hmm. So yes, have been able to meet her like once or twice. But you see, the normal big picture would be, she's meeting Sarah Obama. So I normally just try and do smaller events where I really don't want a celebrity status, because what's really important at that point is how much advocacy or how much awareness did you give in terms of rape and gender and sexual assault? That's my basic bottom line.
Of course, it's the mission and the vision itself. I mean, we've invited actually her son Mark Obama to come on our show, and you know, it's even difficult for us to get our best friends on the show sometimes because of not just because of their schedule, but just because of our own. I mean, we're always, you know.
I guess I'm just wondering whether people like that might be able to, you know, make the project better known, because it would be such a shame if the project wasn't able to continue
to get the recognition that it deserves.
Oh, absolutely,
and it's very worthwhile, and it would be nice to, you know, bring it into the light a little bit more.
I think one of the things that we need to understand, David and Lana, is Patricia Hayward and her husband, Roger Patton, when we basically met online through a feminism group on Facebook, I never thought it would be able to get this far. Mm. 8 years, I have been doing this, but the amount of impact it's been able to have in the past 2 months, just because Patricia was able to say, I'm willing to help, has been unfathomable because it's never been moving this fast. Yeah. Having a website up, having a computer which you can be able to speak to people with, having a bicycle which can be able to move, even if it's one, that one single Australian dollar does make a lot of difference, especially in Africa. Bottom line, when we look at the project, is every single time when I tell people, and every single time that I've done my proposals, I look at it in terms of how sustainable is this? And I can basically say, this is quite sustainable. Mm-hmm. And I did mention to you this earlier today, how many Moonpad projects do you have in Africa or in Kenya? If anyone Googled that, you'd find out none at all.
Nope, this is true. You are the one doing this and carrying this. And
it's self-sustainable. It's not like you're giving out the pads. It's something that you can start off and the village can continue. And I believe that a lot of the girls, when they finish schools, are looking for jobs. And so this is also a way of getting them jobs. So I think it's a marvelous project. And as you said, Mo, I'm looking to be wonderful whether we could get Obama's stepmother involved and, you know, maybe even Obama's daughters, as you suggested. You know, I think you've approached them, but it's the every one of us, just the basic citizens of Australia, America, can make a huge difference.
I'm hearing that it does. You don't have to be the president or the president's mother to make a difference. Yes. You make a difference as individuals.
So can we appeal to everyone listening that if this is just such a an important project that can make such a difference to the community. And I think it sounds like if you don't get enough money, the whole thing could collapse, and that would be awful. So what a wonderful Christmas present to the girls of Africa, to the women of Africa.
Absolutely.
So how much do you need for the project to be viable?
Sorry, I didn't hear the last part.
For the project to remain viable, You what is it? You need 100 people paying $100?
We would be able to need every single dollar. A dollar in Australia would do so much for us.
Really?
It doesn't have to be $100.
Uh-huh.
Right.
A dollar in Australia is just so much for us back here.
Even a dollar?
It does so much.
Wow.
It does.
Sure.
Whether you can be able to put in $1, whether you can be able to put in $10, whether you can be able to put in $5 in our PayPal account, that does so much. If you can be able to come out forth with your expertise and help us with skills on entrepreneurship, that would help us. Mm-hmm. If you'd be able to help us with anything, you can be able to send back to us back here, whether it's an old laptop, whether it's an old bicycle, we could be able to work out all this and then find out how the project is going. Bottom line is, we have to keep on sustaining this. We really have to keep on sustaining this. The number of days a girl misses classes in school just because she's going for her mentors is not reason enough for her not to get educated in Africa.
Okay, well, it's such an important project. I'm just absolutely thrilled that we could make a difference. And with Christmas just around the corner, I just think it's very important that people support this.
And
so your website again?
That's www.themullmoonproject.org.
So
www.themullmoonproject.org.
And let's spell that.
So that's MULMOON.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
And so people can donate by PayPal. They can donate things like computers, bicycles, and they can also suggest their services. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
Whatever you can be able to give. It's very necessary for me right now to get expertise in terms of anybody who can be able to give online training for our teachers, volunteer teachers. It's very important for us to be able to have even schools that can be able to have exchange programs within school settings where they feel they can be able to say, we can be able to have a fundraiser for one particular school and fundraise for them Moonpad.
So
if they can do that, an exchange program between schools in Australia and schools in Kenya, that would really help. We can have exchange programs with teachers who can be able to say, we can be able to help with this. I mean, there is just so much we can do, and I really want to emphasize, it's not really so much about the money. we really need to get out here and say what we need is the hearts to get out and help.
To support it, bring a recognition to it, an awareness, and so that, you know, that this is an important issue and it's worthwhile. And
to be supported by the Western nations. And by the way, this show is not only in Australia, it's very much, you know, international and American.
We're also on Blog Talk and we're on several networks, Blog Talk Radio.
Well, thank you so much for talking to us.
You can imagine if Patricia and Roger have been able to do this much within 2 months, how much more would 5 Aussie friends do back there? How much more would 100 Aussie friends do, or in the US or anywhere else? It would create huge impact. And we're concentrating on 30 schools right now because we don't want to spread too thin, because that is what we can do. But what is being asked for is just too much. 6 sewing machines is what we have right now. 2 laptops and the camera is what we're doing with all this. Teachers working without being paid, but is a bit of stipend that we're trying to work out on. I really feel that people out there listening right now that want to be able to help, if you can do this, just do it, get onto the website, send an email address, whatever way you can, then we will say Asante Sana.
Excellent.
Thank you so much, Mo.
Thank you, Mo.
Perhaps we can have you and Patricia on the show in a few months' time to let us know how it's going.
Okay.
Wonderful. Goodbye to you, and looking forward to talking to you again soon.
Yes, thank you, Mo. I appreciate you coming. Thank you for coming on our show and listening to the Mamoon Project, and we'll see you next time on
Universal Soul Love.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.